Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello everyone and welcome back to, what is this, episode 31?
I do not keep track, so.
Of Sierra Unfiltered. Hi friends. Hi husband.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's late. The thing is, when usually up till this point, when we filmed podcasts, we have someone behind the camera, usually either Jess or Carly, who are two of the girls who work on my channel. But with everything that's going on, they're both working from home. So the past two episodes, it's just been Steven and I here. We've got our remote and we're managing. It's been pretty good. Yeah. But when we don't have that time crunch of like the girls get off at 5, it's like we can record whenever we want.
Well, yeah, and it's anytime you record me, because during the day I'm doing things, and during the day you're doing things right now, so it's like, okay, we'll do it like at 5 or 6 o'clock, and then next thing you know, it's 8:30.
Now, what time is it right now?
It's almost 9 o'clock.
It is 8:47 p.m., and we are ready to go. Steven, what you drinking?
I am drinking a beer.
What kind of beer?
A Blood Orange IPA from Latitude 33, nice good old San Diego brewery.
Fantastic. Cheers.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a strawberry bubbly.
Nope. No? Pomegranate.
Pomegranate. All I know is it's pink.
Yeah, the pink cannon.
That's my favorite flavor. I love anything pink flavored. Like, I feel like pink is usually strawberry flavor, but anything pink I like. Like, kombucha, I just walk in, I'm like, what's pink? Like, I don't care if it's strawberry, pomegranate, whatever. If it's pink, I like it.
The one place you're definitely right, Otter Pops.
Ew.
Pink Otter Pops.
Is that your hot take? Because that could be your hot take if you didn't have one.
That'd be even worse than Fans.
Actually, people liked your Fans hot take.
Nothing made me more happy than scrolling through the YouTube comments and seeing people discussing Fans.
Yeah, people were like one side or the other, like Fans are great, Fans are not great. And you thought it was a joke.
Yeah, you know what? And I have another wonderful kind of a joke, but also not really a joke hot take.
Okay, you start then. I want to hear it.
All right. So I thought about a couple really good ones. So you'll just have to keep me around if you want to hear them all. But mine is that the most superior bed type is like the memory foam kind.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's just the best. I'm a sucker for that memory foam. I have like a memory foam pillow. And I think memory foam is like a brand name. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Memory foam is like the generic term. Because there was the Tempur-Pedic. That was like the brand that everyone was into.
Yeah. So I love that like foamy feel.
And I hate that. I like a plush, soft, like melt into it better pillow. So we have a memory foam.
Bella.
Bella's scratching. Hi, princess.
I mean, you just described memory foam.
It's like you're laying on a rock. And then maybe that rock. Yeah, but I don't like slowly. I want all at once just like engulf me in softness. So we have a memory foam mattress, but then we have a like soft plush pillow topper, like mattress topper, because I just can't sleep on the hard memory foam. To me, it's so hard.
Yeah, it has like the slightest bit of texture.
I remember one year for Christmas, my parents got me a memory foam pillow, and it was like when they really were becoming all the rage. And I felt bad because I didn't like it. So I just slept on it for a couple years because like they were like, here, we got you this pillow. It's like a big deal. I was like, ow, it hurts my neck. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's what I bought myself for like a wedding present.
What?
Remember I bought I have a little, my pillow is literally like 10 pounds.
I don't know. That wasn't a wedding gift. That was, we went to do our registry and you bought yourself a pillow.
Exactly. It was a wedding gift for myself. Like, I am going to buy a pillow because I am doing this. I'm going to lose a lot of sleep, so I need a nice pillow.
Well, do you have anything else to add about your hot take, or is that it?
No. Memory foam's the best, and I can't think of any other bed type.
All right. Well, my hot take is about The Bachelor. Now, I don't want to be the kind of person who likes The Bachelor. That's the thing. Like, there are some reality shows, and Skylar and I actually already talked about this. There are some reality shows where I'm like, yes, I fully love this. I don't even really like The Bachelor, but I have to watch it.
What?
The one show that I do like, genuinely like in the Bachelor franchise, is BIP, Bachelor in Paradise. It is the superior Bachelor show. And I got this hot take from someone on one of my Instagram lives. She said it, and I was like, homegirl, you are right. You are so right. Like, The Bachelor takes itself way too seriously. Like, the most dramatic season yet. Like, I don't care. You know what I want to see?
You still gobble up all
of it. Oh, I gobble it up. I don't deny that. But you know what I really care about? Like, I want to see Claire on the beach talking with raccoons. And then, like, editing it. She's talking to a producer.
It's more, like, comedic. There's some more funny elements.
It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
I want to see Love is Blind do Bachelor in Paradise just because I want to see Jessica on Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm unfortunately not able to participate in this discussion because I don't know who the heck you're talking about.
Oh, she's fantastic. She was the best character in Love is Blind. But yeah, that's my hot take. Oh, also, update before we hop into the meat of this podcast. Skylar is going to be coming back to the podcast virtually starting next week.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So We were like talking online and we're like, holy cow, it has been so long since the girls like had a chance to talk. Like,
well, we text and we FaceTime like all the time, but sitting down and doing a podcast together is so different. And I just wish we could do it in person, but of course we can't.
Well, yeah. And it's been a crazy month. So you guys haven't even had a chance, as far as I'm concerned, like a nice long conversation together.
We talked on the phone for 3 hours the other day.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's weird.
We stay up to date with each other. Yeah. We talk a lot. But I'm really excited to do the podcast together because that's something we really, really enjoy. So we are going to set it up so that she can record from home and I record here. And we we'll try our best to record like a Google Hangout or a Skype call or whatever, like the video of it. But 100% for sure we'll have audio.
Right. So it'll either be a video of the girls talking or a video of me petting Bella for an hour. Actually, no, if the girls are talking for the first time in like a month and a half, it's going to be a freaking long one.
Yeah, it's going to be like 5 hours. But I'm really excited. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that. And Steven, you've just been awesome. And I've had so much fun doing the podcast with you. And we're still going to have Steven on every now and then and Skylar on every now and then while we ease back into it, especially while everything's going on and we're social distancing.
I'm on the sidelines, ready to be tagged in, whatever I need to be tagged in.
You're first off the bench. Well, today, do you want to tell everyone what we're going to be talking about?
Yes. So today, we thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about like our embarrassing childhood stories.
So we each texted our families and we were like, hey, can you, any weird, embarrassing stories that stick in your minds about our childhood, let us know. And they did not disappoint.
No, my family was just so quick to the punch.
My brothers were like, I've been waiting for this moment.
I will always get revenge on you for this.
Yeah, they sent me a bunch of stuff. I had a couple things that I remembered from my childhood. Your parents sent you a bunch. And I think it'll just be kind of a fun, lighthearted way for you guys to like get to know a little bit more what we were like before we met each other, before we became adults. And when we were still, I was a very, very gullible child. So half of my stories are just me believing things that aren't true.
That's very Sierra-like.
It is. My brother still all the time will be just convincing me stuff. And I fully believe it because I'm super gullible. But before we get into the podcast, let me tell you a little bit about this episode's sponsor, and that is Cash App. Cash App is an awesome partner with our podcast. They make Sierra Unfiltered possible, and we just appreciate them so much. And Cash App is also just a great app. It's super convenient. They make it really easy to instantly send money to your friends. So maybe you and your roommates are having a chill night, you're watching a movie, maybe you order a pizza, or maybe you've got some groceries that you want to split up, but you don't have to count out dollars and nickels and pennies anymore. It's annoying. We know, Cash App knows, and that's why they made it so easy to send money back and forth with your friends. Steven and I use it all the time. It's super great. And another great thing about Cash App is Cash App comes with the Cash Card, which is a free debit card, and it comes with boosts. And boosts are like instant rewards for shopping at the places that you already love. So like DoorDash, Whole Foods, Target, and a ton more. It's like having free credit card perks, but packed into that Cash App debit card. Really, really great. And one of our favorite parts about partnering up with Cash App is that they support a charity of our choice, which is the Trevor Project. And the Trevor Project is an amazing organization that provides resources and crisis intervention to LGBTQ plus youth, which is a really, really important cause. And we're so glad that Cash App wants to partner with us to support them. So if you sign up for Cash App and download it from the App Store today, use promo code UNFILTERED and you will receive $10 from Cash App. And Cash App will also donate $10 to the Trevor Project, which I just think is so cool because you get something, the Trevor Project gets something, we all win here. I think it's great. So don't forget to use the promo code UNFILTERED when you download Cash App from the App Store today.
Yay, Cash App.
Yay, Cash App. Thank you, Cash App.
Yeah. Speaking of watching movies with the roommates, tomorrow Onward comes out. Oh, on Disney Plus.
We should watch it.
I am very excited.
I'm so excited. I really wanted to see that in the theaters, and you know, then everything happened and we didn't get to see it, and I'm so excited to make some popcorn, cuddle up on the couch and have a bubbly.
Yeah, it would be nice to be our first movie in the new house.
Will it really?
And I it must be a Pixar movie, of course.
Of course.
Well, what else would we do?
I'm excited. I think it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah.
But I already watched the Super Carlin Brothers review on it, but I only watched the non-spoiler review, so I don't know what happens.
Now you're banned from speaking during the movie. Like, go see, hey, what's your favorite part? Don't tell me.
Okay, you're the one who yesterday told me that, like, oh, when people are spoiled, they enjoy things more. It's scientifically proven. But I'm not even spoiled. I just watched the non-spoiler review.
Which, that is like, it's not for everyone. But there was a really cool study done at my school that kind of talked about that. And I am a firm believer in it because I think it applies to me very heavily.
Well, we were talking about how, because, so Steven and I listen to music very differently. So we were sitting in the bath and I was playing music and I was just kind of like half-heartedly singing the lyrics. And Steven was like, it's so weird how your brain just retains lyrics. And I was like, well, it's not like I sat down and memorized this song. Like it just, my brain hears the lyrics and then mimics them back. Like it's just how my brain works. And Steven was like, I could probably hear a song 200 times and not know a single word or what it's about.
Yeah. Like, I don't piece it together. And it's very interesting now, like, to reflect back on it. Like, oh, actually.
Well, I think that's, like, scientific brain, artsy brain.
Yeah. Well, who knows what else is going on in my head, but. No, so, okay, fine, just to talk about it. The study was something along the lines of, you know, if people are kind of told beforehand what a story is, like essentially spoiling it, or even music, like, hey, this song is going to be about this.
Yeah.
Like, give me a 2-sentence blurb. There's a study that shows that more people than not tend to enjoy things better by being briefly spoiled like that. And I am severely, that is like exactly my case for music. I enjoy music and I can like understand it better if I know what it's about before I listen to it.
Well, that's how we got from point A to point B of like talking about song lyrics to talking about like being spoiled.
Yeah.
Is Steven was saying how he never remembers or he never knows what songs are about. And I was like, then how did you follow along at Dear Evan Hansen? Like those songs propel the plot. Like you really need to listen to the songs a lot of the time. And he was like, well, I had listened to the soundtrack before, so I already knew what they were about.
And you literally walked me through the entire story.
Yeah, we were on a road trip one time, and I was reading him the, like, Wikipedia description of the plot, and then I'd be like, and this is where the song Waving Through a Window comes in, and then I would play it.
Yeah, I really enjoy that, because, like, A, you get to explain things, and it's, like, a fun thing you can do on a car ride, because, like, a whole show can pass easily a couple hours. I don't know.
We should do that with Hadestown. But well, we don't have any.
We're not
like,
going to be driving for a long time.
And we're not going to be going to the theater for a long time.
I'm sure as heck not going to just be casually sitting around for a couple of hours at home.
Why not?
I'll go sit in my reading nook.
What if I like gave you a massage? If I was like, I will give you a back massage the entire time if you listen.
Maybe like in 30-minute increments for a week.
Hadestown is like 3 hours.
Yeah, I can't fit it in my schedule. Declined.
All right, well, let's talk about these childhood stories. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Yikes.
Some of mine are like stories, and some of mine are like, haha, I thought this when I was a kid.
You probably have a lot of good things. And also, we have no context on like our stories.
Yeah, I don't know what yours...
If they're in the same vein.
I have no idea. Yours might be like really dark and mine are like...
Yeah, I don't even know. So like... So I asked my parents and my parents and my brother, and they just sent me a bunch of random things. My favorite one is, I don't even know how old I was. Little Steve. I must have probably been in like elementary school or something. Let's just assume really baby Steve. This was Disneyland. So my family, we went to Disneyland every year for my birthday in February. And that was like, that was just like our big trip of the year always.
Which I'm so jealous of because I only went to Disneyland twice or three times my entire childhood.
Wow.
And that's why I got a pass when I was 16. Yeah, I was
So that's why Disney means a lot to me, because I always kind of live through my childhood every time I go back there. And there's a place called Rainforest Cafe. It's like a little restaurant, and like you eat in a jungle. It's very themed, very Disney, but it's not Disney. But there's like gorillas, robotic gorillas you can eat by, and there's like fish tanks. Anyways, the story is we went there. And now as I'm older, I can reflect back and I'm like, oh gosh, my parents were spending a lot of money. And
what age were you?
I don't know. Elementary, young, I hope.
Okay. Okay, continue.
So anyways, this big Disney, my dad's favorite thing in the world is fish. He just loves like aquariums and whatnot. So anyways, we get seated by the aquarium and I like was bawling because I wanted to sit by the gorilla. And that's my, like, whenever my dad and I are talking, like especially like talking about being a future hopeful father for myself and everything and like kids. And now whenever I see like, parents trying and kids like not happy, I'm like, oh man, that's gonna be such an awkward situation. Like, take your kid to Disneyland,
spend all this money,
take him to this like little fancy restaurant, and then like he's crying because he's by the fish tank and not the robotic gorilla. And I guess that's like the epitome of kids, but still.
Did you cry the whole dinner or did you get over it?
Oh, I forced us to move.
They moved They moved you to the gorilla.
Yep. It's shameful to think back on it,
but sometimes as a parent you gotta pick your battles. You're like, you know what, we're spending a lot of money on this, so we're just going to move to the gorilla.
So now, whenever I become a parent, I'm going to be looking out for a situation like that one day, where it's like, you little son of a gun, like, you're going to make us move, like,
That's so funny. Oh, man.
I always think about that.
I love that. I love those stories about you as a kid, when you're, like, being a brat, because right now you're so even-tempered. Like, adult Steven is, I mean, since I've known you, when I met you, you were 20, and you've just always been this calm, cool, collected, nothing gets you worked up. Like, I've never even heard you raise your voice in, like, how long have I known you? How old are you?
Old. No.
Like, six, seven years?
Nothing but a sweet child.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just so even-tempered. So to picture you just wailing about an animatronic gorilla, I feel like it makes me know you a little bit better.
It was a struggle. How to eat by the fish. Oh, I didn't eat by
the
fish.
But you didn't.
Because I moved well before a food came.
Okay. Okay, which one should I do first? Okay, so first, you know what? I'm just going to do a couple rapid fires of like dumb things I thought as a kid.
Okay.
So first one, you know the fitness chain LA Fitness?
Yes.
So there was an LA Fitness by my house when I was growing up. And when I was like 12 or 13, I asked my mom, I was like, hey, can I get a gym membership? Like after school, I just want to go like work out. I feel like I'm not keeping up with the other kids on my soccer team. And I don't like running on the trails by our house. And she was like, okay, but it has to be close enough for you to walk from school because otherwise, you know, I'm not going to drive you and then pick you up whenever you want. And I was like, yeah, can we go to can I get La Fitness? I thought LA Fitness was La Fitness. And she was like, what's La Fitness? And I was like, it's right there, like right by the school, La Fitness. And she was like, she thought it was probably some like little chain, like little tiny gym. And, you know, she was like, I have no idea what La Fitness is. She's like, point it out to me next time we're driving home from school. So she picks me up from school and I'm like 13. I'm like, Mom, it's right there. La Fitness. It says it right there on the sign. And she starts, both her and my brother start dying laughing, like absolutely dying laughing. And I'm like, what's so funny? And they couldn't even talk. And then they're like, it's LA Fitness, LA Fitness. I thought it was like fancy French, La Fitness.
La Fitness, eh?
So that's a dumb thing I thought.
That's a good classic kid one.
I also thought, you know, like bodycon dresses?
No.
Okay, so a bodycon dress is like a tight dress, meaning that it like contours to your body.
Bodycon.
Yes. So now this is a good demonstration of where my body image was in middle school and high school. Until I was 16, I thought it was called that because it made you body conscious. I went shopping for homecoming with my mom and Skylar, and I was like, yeah, I was thinking about getting like a body conscious dress. And they were both like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, like a tight fitting, like body conscious dress. And they were like, you mean like body con, like body contour? I was like, yeah, body.
Is that a brand or like a
No, type? It's like a type of dress, like a pencil skirt, like a fit and flare body con.
I got pants, shorts, shirts, long sleeve shirts, and a jacket.
Anyways,
and sweaters.
Until I was 16, I thought body con meant because it makes you really self-conscious about your body.
Huh.
Okay. Oh. When I was a kid, I thought that drinking and driving meant any sort of beverage. And because when I was a kid, there were all those commercials of like, don't drink and drive. And they'd like roll down the window and like all the alcohol would spill out or the... don't you remember those PSAs?
I remember PSAs, but not rolling down the window. Like it's
yeah, they roll down the window.
It sounds
and,
like it sounds like you're imagining like tobacco smoke in a car coming out, and you're like instead just like a wave of alcohol.
Well, that, you know, that was like the whole idea of the like PSA. It was like dramatized, but I thought it was any kind of liquid. And one time we were driving in the car, and my mom was drinking coffee, and I got really upset because I had just seen one of those like scare tactic commercials. It's like, Mom, stop drinking and driving. You're going to get us all arrested. This is so bad. And she was like, there's coffee in this cup. And I was like, yeah, but you're drinking it. And she had to explain to me what drinking and driving meant. Because in my brain, I mean, I didn't really understand alcohol at that age. I was probably 6. But in my brain, it was dangerous because you're using a hand to drink, yeah. Which it kind of is.
It is kind of interesting that drinking is just like associated with alcohol, right. Like I don't say like, oh man, I drank a lot last night,
and
no one's
coffee.
Like, no one's like, was it Pepsi or Dr. Pepper?
They're like, was it tequila or vodka?
Yeah, it's kind of. I wonder. Interesting.
All right, I've got one more of those quick little ones, and then I'm gonna pass
yeah,
it back to you.
That's my turn.
So when I was, or you know what? No, this one's kind of longer. So you just go ahead and do your next one.
Look at that. I give a little whiny voice and I get my way.
It's just like the Rainforest Cafe. All over
duly
again.
Noted. My sweet mom sent me this one. She said, she was laughing at that fact that, this must have been in high school. So like sophomore or freshman kind of age. She would take me to midnight video game releases. And I'd be like really embarrassed because like we'd be going for like Halo 3 or Halo 4. Halo 3. Definitely Halo 3. And we'd be getting there. I'm like, Mom, you got to stay in the car so I can go out with my friends. So bless my little... sweet, sweet mom. We'd get there like almost as early as like 10 or 11. I would go wait in line with like, you know, my cool friends. And she would sit in that car till like 1 in the morning. And then we'd get in the car and go home.
I was going to say, I can't believe your mom would do that. But your mom is like the sweetest lady. So like, I can totally see her doing that. Like her being like, this is what Steven wants. So like, I'm willing to do it. Make my son happy. I feel like she could still do that for you.
I like to think that I had to like beg my way through that.
You think so?
I had to trade a lot, you know, I had a barter for it, but maybe not. And that's just how I want to remember it.
Did you have the story written down of the time that you complained about your mom's cooking? So she made you guys cook. Cause that's one of my favorites.
No, I
don't. You should tell that one right now. Cause I think that one's so funny.
I'm surprised they didn't send me that one. So this was like, we were probably, me and my brother, I was probably a senior in high school.
And Steven and his brother are what, a year and a half apart?
Yeah, 18 months apart. So, what was it? We were just at home, definitely in our, complaining stages of our lives. And it was just like, we'd always complain about what we had for dinner. Dad, this is so boring. Like, I want this other thing. And it was like, literally, like, we were having, it's kind of ridiculous, but it was like steaks for dinner one night. I'm like, Dad, we don't want steaks. Like, and obviously... now that I'm older, I look back and I'm like, man, gosh, imagine making, like, having dinner, like, a steak dinner, and, like, the kids complained. Like, man, I want dino nuggets. So anyways, and we were, like, seniors, so we're pretty old by now, so my dad's, like, not putting up with that at that age. And he's like, okay, how about this? I'm not cooking dinners for you guys. I'll cook dinner for me and Mom for a week, and we'll see what you guys think of that. And I felt so alone. Because, I don't know, your parents always say things like that and they never go through. And for whatever reason, my dad, it was like to the T, drew the line. It was like, nope, I'm not making you dinner. Here's a, I'll buy you food. Here's a closet, or a closet, a pantry full of food. But like, I'm not going to be cooking any of it for you. I will cook, mom and I a nice dinner every night. And you guys can cook on your own.
I love to picture the smell like wafting your way as you're like sadly eating your like potato chips.
So like, I begged my mom for days and then she finally like made us a pot of spaghetti sauce.
I thought the story was that she showed you how to make spaghetti.
That's probably how I like swooned my way in. Like, oh, mom, like, woe is me. I don't know how to cook. Like, teach me. Oh, teach how to make spaghetti. Like, oh, yes.
And then she just made it.
Made a giant thing of spaghetti. And I just, because I could heat up noodles. And so I survived. And yeah, that was a crazy time.
That's really good. I love that one. Okay. So when I was in elementary school, so a little bit of context. I was a total tomboy from, I would say, second grade to late fifth grade, early sixth grade. And then when puberty hit, I was like girly girl, flirting with all the boys, had a bunch of boyfriends in seventh grade. Like, the difference between sixth grade Sierra and seventh grade Sierra is huge, and in a lot of ways. But so by the time I got to middle school, I was, you know, comfortable talking to guys, and I had guy friends. But when I was a tomboy, all my friends were guys, but I was one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Boys never had crushes on me. It was absolutely not a thing. And when I was in fourth grade, my best friend, who was a boy, sorry, Steven turned my mic down and I had to turn it back up.
I like how you're at like 3 and I'm at like 7.
Oh yeah, welcome to my life. So my best friend, who was a boy, his neighbor would come play with us sometimes. And I was in, I want to say, fourth grade. So what would I have been? 9 years old? And he, I guess, developed a crush on me, which was something I had never experienced, ever.
Your first crush?
No, he had a crush on me. I had no interest.
Being the first receivee of a quit? Okay. I don't know.
Exactly. But I was totally oblivious to it. Apparently, it was really obvious. My mom told me it was really obvious, but I was totally oblivious. One day, my friend, like, he was over at my house and his mom came to pick him up, and the neighbor was with her because they were like, you know, dropping him off, carpool, whatever. And so my friend's mom came up to the door and was like, to my mom, and I could hear from my room, was like, oh, is Sierra here? I need to think of a fake name. Bella Bruiser. Bruiser wants to talk to her. And I heard this from my room and I panicked. I had no idea. What do you mean talk to me? Like, what? You're coming into my house? I don't know what to do. So there was a bathroom attached to my room. As soon as I heard this, I ran into the bathroom. I locked both doors and I turned the shower on and just sat on the toilet. Like, just shower on, sat on the toilet. And I heard my mom, I'm like sweating profusely. I heard my mom say, oh, it sounds like she's in the shower, but you know, you guys can wait and hang out because Evan's here anyways. He's downstairs. And I'm sitting in this bathroom just like clammy. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to react. And I convinced myself I will stay in this bathroom as long as I need to. I don't care. I am not talking to this boy. There is no freaking way. I think it went on for probably 10 or 15 minutes of my mom talking to his mom and the boys playing outside with my brother and just hanging out. And then finally my mom was like, oh, I think she's gonna be in there for a while. It sounds like she's taking a long shower. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll head out. As soon as they left, turn the shower off, peek outside. I'm like, is he gone? I was so not equipped to handle that situation.
You probably built up so much like strength. Like, I'm going to go ask her out.
And then I, for like a good couple months, I never wanted to go over to my friend's house. I always wanted him to come to my house because I was worried that we were going to see his neighbor. And I was really nervous. It was a genuine fear. Genuine fear, which is so funny to think about, because then I got to seventh grade and I was just like,
well,
give me all the boys.
Yeah, I wish girls were coming to my house in fourth grade.
You didn't have any girl friends when you were growing up?
Girlfriends? Oh, like lady friends?
No, just
I feel like I can never say like, the word girlfriend.
Was there a girl in your group of friends? Girl, I was the girl, the token girl in my entirely male group of friends.
Yeah, but like maybe not. No. Well, kind of. Like, once I got in college, yeah.
I'm talking about when you're, like, 7.
When I was a wee lad, no. Okay. So, actually, that kind of segues into one of my other stories.
Perfect.
This is the hardest one I ever had to go through. So, 5th grade. Imagine a nice, really nerdy Steve.
Oh, I love this story.
In sweet 5th grade. You know, back on that beautiful sunny day, I was very confident and, like, very, like, ooh, I'd talk to girls and all that stuff. And I remember one night, we were all at home, and, you know, it was my brother and then another friend of ours. And we were like, ooh, let's write, like, letters to girls. And they wrote a letter to the girl. He wrote a letter to the girl. I wrote a letter to a girl.
Was this, like, a girl that you had liked for a long time, or just, like, a girl in your class that you were like, yeah, she's kind of cute?
I think it was just, like, whatever 5th grade crushes are.
Okay.
So, like, the two of them did it. Flawless execution. It all worked out great. So, I was like, easy. So, like, I tried to, like, pass a note in class. Or I think it was, like, kind of like, here, take this note and pass it to this person kind of thing. And then, oh, no, that wasn't it. That's what it was supposed to. That's right. What it actually was, I left it at my desk and it fell out. And the teacher had a rule that you can't pass notes in class. But I wasn't passing a note. It was just my desk and it fell out. I think because we were supposed to hand them, like, after class on our way out. So, the policy was, any notes passed in class get read to the class. Yeah, so my note got read to the class.
What did it say?
It was, like, just the spelling of the name and, like, you write a word. I just remember one of them, just to, like, really highlight the context here. There was, like, an R in the name, and I wrote, like, rice.
Oh, you did like a name poem. Like, if it was Steven, it would be like super terrific.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm pretty penis. Sure it was like that. But anyways.
Wait, you're not gonna laugh at my joke.
No.
I said the P in your name stands for penis.
I'm not acknowledging it.
Okay, go ahead. Acknowledge it in the comments, guys. Thanks.
So it sounds playful, but man, did that scar me. I legit did not talk to a girl for like 2 years. That's it was just really like sad. Everyone in my circle was like, I was just so embarrassed, and I always wanted to write a note to my teacher being like, you made me so embarrassed for so long.
You bitch, you ruined me.
Yeah, no, it was like low-key traumatic and really embarrassing. And yeah.
Do you think that's what made you more like reserved with like everything?
I don't know. I want to say no, but I'm sure there's some ounce of that in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a very strange thing on how much it affected me.
Or at least with like dating. Because you said you had to, like, you thought about messaging me for like weeks before you actually did. Had that teacher not read your note, do you think you would have just thought about messaging me and then messaged me?
Who knows?
Well, I'm glad she didn't read it, like, too traumatically, because then maybe you wouldn't have messaged me at all.
No, it wasn't that bad, but it was, like, definitely got me for, like, a solid year.
Did you cry?
No.
Well.
I don't think so.
Just bottled it all up?
Bottled it all up.
And did just... you, like, never mind, that's a girl thing. I was going to say, did you listen to Taylor Swift and cry? But I don't even think Taylor Swift was around then. Okay. So, when I... Oh, I forgot one more thing that I thought. When I was a kid, I thought that swallowing gum would kill you because my grandma told me that.
I mean, it pretty much would.
Okay, no, it wouldn't. And one time I accidentally swallowed a piece of gum and I genuinely thought I was dying and I wrote a will.
What?
At like 7 years old.
You knew what a will was at 7?
Yeah, I had seen it on TV. I didn't really know, but I wrote like, I want my stuffed animal Puddles to go to my best friend, Julie. And I want my...
Did you, like, tell your parents that you were dying? And they're like, oh, no, you need to write a will.
No. I, like, wrote it in a paper and put it in my little desk. And then a couple weeks went by and I didn't die. And then I asked my dad about it. And he was like, oh, that's just an urban legend. And I was like, oh. I thought this was it.
An urban legend.
But I'll do another one since that one was short. Oh, okay. This is a good one. So when I was in elementary school, as I said, very much a tomboy. All my friends were boys. I had one friend who was a girl who was also a tomboy. I played kickball at lunch and recess every day. That's it. For 2nd, 3rd, and 4th grade. And then one day in 3rd grade, one of the boys who was like kind of in my group of friends, but not really, it was kind of in a different group, but would play kickball with us. He decided that girls weren't allowed to play kickball.
No.
And that's not what girls are supposed to do. That girls are supposed to walk the track and make daisy chains and make up cheer dances, and they're not allowed to play kickball.
Oof.
And a couple of the kids took his side, and they were like, yeah, Sierra, wow. You can't play. Sorry. Bye. Try again next year. And I left that day and I was really upset and I went and cried, and a couple of my like close guy friends who were part of that group came with me and it's okay, we'll make our own kickball game. And I went home, I was really upset, and I told my mom, and my mom said to me, that's sexist. They can't say that. You go up to that kid tomorrow and you tell him he's being sexist. Now, Ed's 7 years old. I had no idea what being sexist meant, but it sounded like a strong argument. So what did I do? I brought my own ball, because I wasn't the one who brought the ball usually then. And I walked up to him at recess, and I said, I want to play kickball. And he said, girls aren't allowed to play kickball. And I said, well, that's sexist. And he was like, that's a made-up word. And I was like, no, it's not. And so we kind of went back and forth at that recess. We went into the classroom, and I was pretty upset, and the teacher asked me what was wrong. And I said, I need to make up a name. Steven is being sexist to the teacher. And the teacher was like, how? What? And I was like, he said girls can't play kickball. And what did he get? Detention. And what did all the kids do? Come play at my backstop with my ball. And I won. And that was just the sweetest victory. And once he had had detention for a couple days, they, you know, let him back out. But I had already gotten everyone over to my side. A couple weeks go by. He comes up and he says, can I play kickball? I said, no, you can't. Sorry. Insert his name. Aren't allowed to play kickball. And he cried. And then I let him play kickball. But wow. That was my sweet revenge of the time that I became a feminist at 7 years old and I never looked back.
Big yikes.
Big yikes? Why big yikes?
Well, just you becoming dominant and like torturing the poor kid in revenge.
He told me I wasn't allowed to play kickball. And I set my place.
Also, I'm laughing because I can hear Bella snoring.
I know, you can probably hear her. She's fast asleep. But yes, kind of. I honestly feel like that was a defining, like you said, that note thing was a defining part of your character. I feel like that to me was a defining part of my character.
See, mine was like sheltered, like curl up in a ball for a year.
Steve. Mine was like empowering. Mine was like, girls can do anything boys can do. I can take you down and I will. But then I will show you mercy at the end and I will let you play kickball. I will crush you.
Jiminy Crickets. That sounds like I need to challenge you to a kickball fight one day.
Yeah, you should.
I don't even know if kickball fight's the correct way of wording that, but I'm sticking with it.
I was really into kickball. Really into kickball.
This one's less of a story and more of a statement.
Oh.
This little nice sweet internet game called RuneScape. my brother said, if you don't mention RuneScape, you're doing a disservice to many years of our lives.
Steven found a journal in the old house when we were cleaning it out. And I found a bunch of my childhood journals, too, because we both had, like, childhood boxes. He was like, oh, I just found a journal. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what does it say? I want to know what your thoughts were as a kid. He's like, it's actually really embarrassing. It's just like, woke up today, played RuneScape. Went to bed, woke up today, played RuneScape.
Oh, my friend came over. We played RuneScape. yeah.
What video games did you play growing up? Obviously, RuneScape.
I think RuneScape was like the first time I really got into it. Video game.
I played RuneScape a couple times. My brother was into it. I never really got into it. The one I really got into was Toontown.
Like the weird.
And Neopets.
The weird thing for me to think about is like our family, we got internet to play RuneScape.
Really?
Like we didn't have internet and we got internet because I wanted to play RuneScape with my friends. Like this is my favorite sentence in my entire life. And every time I say it, I get all giddy. So my friends had RuneScape. I wanted RuneScape. I had a computer. I went to Blockbuster and got an AOL internet trial card. And then I had AOL for a week. And then I finally convinced my parents that we should get internet.
Like, so you were an innovator.
Yeah. Like imagine going to Blockbuster and being like, I want internet. Do you have an AOL trial card I could use?
See, my default is to say I miss Blockbuster, but I don't. If Blockbuster came back, I wouldn't be like, yay, Blockbuster. I'm just nostalgic about the time of having sleepovers, convincing my mom to take me and my friends to pick out a movie, you know, running into our friends there, getting some red vines.
See, and the weird part for me is when I think of Blockbuster, I think more of like video games.
You could rent video games at Blockbuster?
Yeah, and it was great. It was so cheap and it was like fun.
But don't you, like, doesn't it take a long time to beat a video game?
No. If you, like, play it all day, you only need, like, 2 days.
All right, I'll do my next one. Okay. I did those, too. Oh, okay. So, this is just a really dumb one. when I was, my dad told me this story, I was too young to remember, but when he told me, I was dying laughing, and it was the beginning of my life as an artsy person. So I think I would have been 8 months old, maybe 10 months old, but my dad said that he would always put me down for a nap, and then when I was ready to wake up, I would cry or yell or say, you know, dad, dad, and he'd come get me. And he said it was always like clockwork, like it was the exact same time I would wake up and cry for him or cry for my mom. And there was one day where he put me down and it had, he was working and he checked his clock. He's like, oh, it's been an hour. She's still quiet. That's great. Still sleeping. That's awesome. Keeps working. Oh, it's been an hour and a half. I guess I should go check on her. And he goes into the room and I had woken up like clockwork at my normal time. And I had pooped in my diaper, which normal after a nap.
I remember this story.
And I had quietly stood up, removed my diaper, taken my hand, scooped up the poop, and was finger painting on the wall. I must have been older than 8 months old because I was standing up and painting, so I don't know however old I would be. But I was finger painting on the wall with my poop just silently. Not crying, not cooing, not anything. Just sitting there painting. He said I had all slathered it all over the wall. And he walked in and he said it was the weirdest combination of disgust, anger, and laughter. Because it's not like I had gotten angry and thrown it across the room. Like, I was creating art. Like, I was an artistic child. I was just using my poop.
This is a good story of, like, I wonder what this actually was and how much it's, the story's changed over the years.
You have to ask Big Time Wes.
I know.
Because he told me that story when I was, like, 16, and I died laughing. I thought it was so funny.
Ugh, gosh.
I like, can't even imagine. Can you imagine that?
I don't.
Just
I
like
can't.
Being excited that your kid's sleeping so you can work.
It's like, yay. Did that. And I'm like, oh no, what are you doing?
Do you have another one?
Yeah, so this is a different time frame. So I was probably in high school here. So I asked my parents for funny, embarrassing stories. And my dad sends me this, which I don't think was funny or embarrassing, but I had a little skin tag on my eyelid. So, like, I don't know, I guess they're considered mini warts, whatever. It was on my eyelid. So I like went in to get it removed, and like they had to put a needle either in my eyelid or literally into my eye.
What?
I'm pretty sure it was into my eye, and that's why this was so like intense for me. So anyways, yes, right? Like, imagine laying there and having a needle come towards
your
eye.
I don't want to imagine. One wants to imagine.
I like to think that I like understand medical needs and like, you know, we do what we got to do, and if it's uncomfortable, it's fine because it's like needs to happen. And I had that like same philosophy as like in high school. So anyways, I get that done. I get a needle either in my eyelid or in my eye. I can't remember. And it like put my body into like legitimate shock. Like, I've never passed out in my life, and that happened. And I thought I was like hanging in there, and like it was done, because like it was just like pretty quick. And then I stood up and I fainted.
Why is that funny?
I know. It's not funny.
It's terrifying.
And then, yeah, so then I just, like, my dad was right there, so he, like, he obviously saw me not all there. But it just, like, threw me into shock. The, like, having a needle in your eye or your eyelid, I think they're both equally bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, tell a funny one.
I like that one.
Why? Ooh, that one makes me cringe. Cringy. I can do one.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I can cross off Picasso poop. That's what I named my stories.
See, mine are.
Okay. So when I was little, I was never really that into like Barbies or dolls, but I was really into stuffed animals. And I had certain stuffed animals that I was super, super attached to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one, and his name was Puddles. And Puddles was just like a little teeny tiny, not even like a Beanie Baby, but just like a little tiny stuffed dog, like that big.
Okay.
And I would take Puddles with me everywhere. I'd take Puddles to preschool. I would take Puddles to the store. I loved Puddles. One time, not really super related to the story, but just kind of like a testament of how much I loved Puddles. My little brother knew I loved him so much. Austin was like 3 at the time and wanted Puddles to be warm. So he put Puddles under my lizard's lamp because my lizard had a heat lamp and burned Puddles' neck off and his ear off. And my grandma stitched him back together good as new. And I, well, not good as new because he was all melted, but I still like kept Puddles after that. So when we would go to theme parks, my parents, you know,
oh, that's not even your story.
That's not the story.
That's just
when we would go to theme parks, I would, my parents would bring ponchos, right, for like the water ride.
Okay.
So we were going to Legoland one day, and we had our little ponchos in our bags, and I used to make ponchos for Puddles out of garbage bags. So I'd take scissors, because I was a crafty little kid, and I would cut Puddles a little rain hat and a little raincoat out of a garbage bag. It was just like a...
And this is your toy?
Yes. Wow. It was just like a little... I would take a piece of garbage bag.
Like Beanie Baby size.
Yes. I would cut a neck hole, and then I would just... Because a poncho just kind of covers your arms, right? Like, that's how much I loved this stuffed animal.
Like, it's like a dress from the neck.
Exactly. So I loved this little stuffed animal so much, I would make it ponchos so it could come on the water ride with me. So we go to Legoland. Puddles is in this little poncho. My dad and I go on the boat ride. We're having so much fun. I get up, and I'm pretty sure that's where I left Puddles to this day. I think Puddles fell out of my bag, or I left him. Because I would have Puddles sit on the seat with me and my dad. I was that kid.
Yikes.
I left Puddles. 10 or 15 minutes later, I realize I do not have Puddles anymore. And I become a puddle of tears.
We must not have liked him that much if you went 10 minutes without him.
Well, don't stop it. I loved him. I start getting so upset. But also, we were at Legoland. I was at Legoland with my dad, and that was a special thing. And I didn't want to like ruin the day. So I just wanted to find Puddles, and that was it. So yeah. I'm crying. We're going back. We can't find him. We go to Lost and Found. They can't find him. And my dad's like, all right, let's just go home. Like, you're really upset. And I'm like, no, then this is like a double bad day. I've ruined the Legoland day, and I don't have Puddles. So we put our name down at the front. They say they'll ship him to us, if, you know, when they find him. We go about our day at Legoland, and I'm just like picturing Puddles, like so sad in his little boat and his little raincoat just waiting for me. And they never shipped Puddles to us, and that was the last time I saw him. With his little burnt off ear and melted eyeball.
R.I.P. Puddles.
R.I.P. Puddles. All right, do you want to go?
Yeah.
I miss Puddles.
This is what my brother said. So my dad used to cut our hair when we were like, probably like kindergarten to first grade or something.
Keep talking. I'm going to change the camera battery.
Do-do-do-do-do. So there was like a period before I got too far into the public school system, thank goodness, where my sweet compadre cut my hair. And, you know, bless his heart, he tried. But me and my brother definitely had a rather choppy cut. And I remember we'd like see our aunts and stuff, and they're like, oh my gosh, do not let you... Wow, dropping stuff all over there. And yeah, it was very funny to look back on the pictures and be like, oh yeah, Dad, you tried and you did not get very far. He still claims till this day that they were fine, but I remember my aunt was not too excited that we kept letting them do that. Because me and my brother didn't care. But yeah.
My mom used to cut my hair, but she didn't use a bowl.
He didn't use a bowl on us.
There's literally pictures of a bowl on your head and your dad cutting it.
No.
No?
Maybe.
Is that one of my cousins I'm thinking of? I've definitely seen a picture.
Because we didn't get bowl cuts. It was just like, ooh, wow, why is that part so long? But, I mean, honestly, today, that'd be like part of the trendy stuff that's going around right now.
You'd be like an e-boy.
It'd be like the like really cool fades and everything, but it's like just, you know, the 90s was the wrong time.
All right. I think I have one more, maybe two more. Oh, okay. So another kind of short one. But you know how when you're driving down a street and you see a street sign, it's mm-hmm. for the street that you would turn onto. So if you're going down East Street, let's say,
uh-huh.
and then you see a sign here that says
North Street,
A Street,
mm-hmm.
you would say, okay, this is where I turn to get onto A Street. I thought the sign that you saw was the street that you were on for until I was probably 12 or 13. Because I'd never had, you don't have to deal with directions really when you're a kid. One time my grandma was driving me to voice lessons and I was like, okay, you turn on to East Street. And then I'm, you know, we're driving. I'm like, wait, no, we're on East Street because that's where we're supposed to turn. And she's like, what? Okay, I'll keep going. And then I'm like, wait, no, now we're on Magnolia. Wait, no, now we're on Leaf Street. Wait, no, now we're on Air Freshener Street. And I just, because those are the streets that you're turning onto, I thought the street that we were on just kept changing. And I could not understand why the streets kept changing. And I went home and finally we got to voice lessons, but I was like 10 minutes late. And that night I went home and I was like telling my mom how hard it was, and she had to explain to me how street signs work.
I think you still have that same problem today.
I actually do. I wish I could blame it on that.
Sierra will never win an award for navigation abilities.
I will not.
If she's your co-pilot, just use your own GPS. Love you.
My dad's name is Wes, and he says he doesn't need a GPS because he's the GP Wes. Which was fine, usually, until one time, I used to travel with him a lot when he would go abroad for business.
Hey, Bella.
And so, Bella, honey, she's been scratching her ear so much. Bella!
I know.
There you go. Like, good girl.
Tons of pollen in there and
I
everything.
Know. But my dad and I were in Australia, and you drive on the other side of the road, and it was like $10 a day more to get GPS, because this is before GPS on the phones. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I'm the GP Wes. I don't need it. Keep in mind, we're driving across country, Australia. We went down the, I think it's called the Great Ocean Road. It was like a 8 or 9 hour drive. No GPS, because he's the GP Wes. We got lost so many times. And he's on driving on the other side of the road. So he just kept making wrong turns, and it was a hot mess.
Remember when we were in, what's that little port town we were in?
Plymouth?
Plymouth. And we were trying to get gas.
Oh my gosh.
I felt so helped.
It's like it was so, like, all the streets were really kind of hard to navigate, and we're driving on the other side, and there's so many roundabouts.
Well, it's a lot of traffic.
Lots of traffic, and we could not get into a gas station.
We spent like 30 minutes trying to get a gas station. And
it was longer than that.
Because we were training in our rental car, and we're like, oh, we just got to fill it up. And we're like, it took us like 30, 40 minutes. We're like, screw it. We're paying the fee to have them fill it up. Like, just screw this.
Oh, so bad.
So to end, I thought it'd be kind of fun. Now, what's the most embarrassing moments in our relationship? So, like, for me...
Oh, wait, but you got to think of some, and I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even have to think. I just already have one. Oh. And I bet you could guess it. What I would say is the most embarrassing thing for me in our relationship.
What? What is it?
Guess.
I don't know. I have no idea. There's been a lot.
A nice cold night. Steven and Sierra, very young. Probably in their first 6 months of dating. Not even that. Probably like first couple months of dating.
I have no idea what this story is.
And, you know, as any good young couple does, they kiss.
Oh, now I remember it. Should I tell it or should you? I got so excited. I almost not.
I could just, I don't know. It's almost done.
All right. So Steven and I, getting a little spicy. We'd only been literally
just kissing.
Just making out. And we...
Good God.
We were not official. We were just...
No, so we were just dating.
We were just dating. And Steven is prone to nosebleeds.
Yep. So, also, if anyone else is prone to nosebleeds, shout out to you because it's a struggle.
So we're kissing. He like pulls back for a sec and you take it from there.
Yeah. So it's also like, it's rather dark. So like...
Lights are off.
And I'm very in tune with the feelings of a nosebleed. And I'm like, wait a second, something's wrong with this picture. And like, I'm like, oh wait, I think I'm having bloody nose. So like, I turn on my light and I see like blood on my hand. I'm like, oh, sorry, peace, I'm out of here. I'm bleeding.
You told me that you pulled back and looked at me and there was blood on my face.
I think it was dark. So then I was like, then I turned the lights on and Sierra's face was like, oh, bloody. And in that moment, I was like, well, this was a good run. She was a nice, sweet girl. I'll never see her again. I'm going to go back into my hermit self and never talk to another girl for a long time. I was just like.
Yeah, you couldn't even talk. You were so, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I'm so surprised because it wasn't even, you were just like, I think you just legitimately didn't care, which I don't understand how.
No, I didn't care. I was like, oh, well, I was just concerned about you. I was like, oh, like, I'd never had a nosebleed, so I was like, does that hurt? Like,
yeah,
are you okay?
I remember that was a moment where I was like, oh, she's kind of dope. But, yeah, that was by far, that might be one of my most embarrassing moments of my entire life.
How did we get past, like, not get past that, but, like, what, like, did you run to the bathroom? Did you, like, wipe the blood off my face?
I took care of you, and then I took care of me, and then I was like, yeah, let's just, bye. Pretty sure I, like, threw the white towel and was like, I surrender, like, this night is over, like.
Well, you kept bringing it up because we watched a movie after that and you kept just being like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, really? It's fine. Like, you didn't do it on purpose. Keep in mind, like, my usual problems with boys was, like, them being assholes. So you accidentally bleeding on me and then being very nice about it after, I was like, oh, he cares.
I even just feel like an idiot telling the story.
But why? Because it's not something you can control. All the idiot stories about me are like things I did.
I feel like, purpose. I don't know, just blood is a weird thing. I don't know.
I guess.
It's kind of gross. Especially your face. Ugh.
Yeah, when I think about it, it's kind of gross. But back then, I didn't really care. But also back then, it was the phase of my life where I had Taco Bell for like 3 meals a day. And like, just not, I was not caring about anything.
When did you ever have Taco Bell 3 times
Skylar and I, you remember this phase. Or this might have been right before I actually, no, it was before I started dating
you. Remember this phase. You guys had Taco Bell coupons and you get Taco Bell for lunch.
Skylar's mom was a teacher and she, one summer, had a ton of coupons from Taco Bell for free combo meals that were going to expire at the end of the summer. So she gave them to Skylar. I mean, it was literally like 200 coupons. Like, we didn't even use them all. And so when you're a high schooler and you want to go out to eat, but you have no money and free Taco Bell coupons, what you gonna do? And neither of us were vegetarians at the time, so we went to town.
All right, so now what's your story?
Oh, okay.
But for us and our relationship.
Oh, I don't know. There's so many. I'm so embarrassing all the time.
You're embarrassing right now that you can't come up with one.
Can you think of one?
I already did.
No, for me.
Oh. Embarrassing for you?
Yeah.
So you fall a lot.
I fall a lot.
I don't know if those classify as embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think when you fell at Disneyland, that was funny.
When did I fall at Disneyland?
Remember we were like running up the stairs to the train?
Oh, I ripped my favorite leggings.
But that wasn't necessarily funny or embarrassing. It was definitely funny, not embarrassing. Love you.
I don't know. I cry a lot. I fall a lot.
What a champ.
That's me.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't think I have any. I do have 2 more childhood stories though that are quick. Oh wait, no, just one, because I told the one about my grandma on the street signs. Okay, last one. So when I was probably 7 or 8. Do you remember the show Wild Thornberries about the girl who could talk to animals?
Is that like where they would like have a safari van and like one guy had a really long red mustache?
Yes. But it was, yeah.
What's it called? The
Thornberries? Wild Thornberries.
Man, that was such a good show.
Nigel was the dad.
Yes.
Eliza Nigel. Was the daughter.
Wow. Thanks for the throwback. Okay, continue.
You're welcome. I brought back a memory you didn't even know existed.
Was that on Nickelodeon?
It was, yeah.
Is there like a Nickelodeon Plus?
No, but there should be, because I would watch the crap out of Wild Thornberries.
See, I grew up on Nickelodeon. That was, like, my channel.
My parents, actually, it's funny because my parents are so chill now, but I think they were trying to be, like, kind of stricter parents with my older brother and I. We were only allowed to watch PBS Kids, not even Disney. Because they were like, oh, that we don't like some of the shows that come on at night. Same with Nickelodeon. Like, I remember going to a friend's house and my friend turning on Dora the Explorer and me being like, is this on Nickelodeon? Because I can't watch that. And her mom was like, it's Dora, like, I promise you're fine, it's Dora the Explorer. And now my parents are like, they've definitely, I think because we were, my brother and I were so close in age that we were both kind of like the first kid. But yeah, I wasn't really allowed to watch Nickelodeon until I was older.
Yeah, I like lived off of Fairly Odd Parents, Jimmy Neutron.
My parents hated Fairly Odd Parents because they said favorite. They were annoying and they didn't want us to become annoying, which clearly they failed.
They really messed up on that.
But okay, Wild Thornberries. Right, so I really like that show. And the girl could talk to animals. That was like the whole plot. Like have conversations with animals.
Really?
Yes, that was the whole plot.
I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she could talk to animals. I really like that show. I like low key kind of I'd started to convince myself that I could like talk to animals. Like that I could like hear animals, right? And then one day I was like petting I had like caught a lizard or something. Like I was I really liked animals as a kid. And I was like petting it or something. And my mom was like, well, Sierra, you're just so good at like communicating with animals. Like you can really understand them or something like that. Like just meaning like you are someone who has a way with animals.
Yeah.
I took that as, oh my gosh, my mom just told me I'm Eliza Thornberry. I can talk to animals. I can hear them. I convinced myself that in my, like, you know how everyone has, like, an inner dialogue? That my inner dialogue was animals talking to me for, like, a solid week.
How old were you?
I want to say 7.
Teen?
No, 7. And then, so the week goes by. I'm, like, I'm at school, like, convincing myself I can, like, talk to birds and stuff. My cousins come over that weekend. And I was really close with one of my cousins, especially growing up, Lexi, because we were close in age. And I remember I told my cousin Lexi, I was like, I have to tell you a secret, but you can't tell anyone ever. And she was like, what? And I was like, I can talk to animals. But I believed it. And she was like, what do you mean talk to animals? I was like wild thornberries. So she's like, wait, really? I was like, yeah, but you can't tell anyone. She's like, what's that bird saying? And I just, you know, totally made crap up. So like the whole day, she and I were like, we have our secret. Like no one can know. So of course she tells her brother and my brother. And they come up to me and they're like, you big liar. You can't talk to animals. And I'm like, yeah, I can. Mom said I can. Go ask her. She told me it's my special gift. So they go up to my mom and my mom's like, what? I think I said Sierra has a way with animals. And then I was really sad and I realized I can't talk to animals.
Very sad. Well, that was a fun podcast.
That was really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I mean, so also, so this was the podcast that we were supposed to do like the week after the whole miscarriage
thing. Yeah, we had already planned this. We had already texted our families.
I was looking at the text. These texts were from February 17th. So we were getting ready for the next week's podcast. So we got that one out of the way. High five. We finally did it.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey. Mm-hmm. And now it's 10 o'clock at night.
Wait, if Onward comes out on Disney Plus tomorrow, that means in 2 hours. So we could just stay up and watch Onward.
Well, I have to work in the morning from home, of course, which would be nice, but I need to turn on my laptop at like 9 a.m. or 8 a.m.
That's 7 hours of sleep.
Yeah, if we went to bed now.
No. Nuh-uh.
Right, that's not how math
works.
If
we watched a 2-hour movie at midnight.
Onward's like 4 hours.
No, it's not.
I have no idea. Definitely. I wish it was. Not 4 hours.
I'm really excited about that movie. It's going to be really cool. What was your favorite movie as a kid? Since we talked about childhood.
Movie?
Was it Dinosaur?
I still want to watch Dinosaur with you so bad.
Steven stands Dinosaur.
When we went to Disney World and they had like a whole dinosaur corner. Or like, okay, not even dinosaurs, because dinosaurs are cool, but like not my excitement. The movie Dinosaur.
Which was a crappy movie.
Watch it again and dare to tell me that it's crappy.
I remember it being meh. Like I
remember it was like one of the few movies to like give me legitimate chills at the end. I'm like, oh, the dinosaurs are yelling at the T-Rex thing. Ugh, the hair's on my...
My dad was, like, one of the first people on Netflix. Like, he was part of their, like, first trial. And so we used to get movies, like, twice a month from Netflix. And so we would always have family movie night from Netflix. And one of them was Dinosaur, and I remember it being very mediocre.
You guys, like, probably, like, talked during the movie and ruined it or something. Because it is a fantastic movie.
Did I ever tell you that my dad almost invested, like, heavily in Netflix when it first came out?
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
Yeah, so when the whole, like, dot-com bubble happened, he had, like, set aside a little bit of money to invest. Because my parents were still pretty young, so it wasn't like he was going to, like, strike it rich on Netflix or whatever. But, you know, he had a little bit of money to invest. And he was deciding between a food delivery service that was essentially like Amazon Fresh now, but back then, or this weird company called Netflix. And he decided to go with the grocery delivery company, which very quickly went under and never even got past the website stage. And then Netflix, but he was still excited about Netflix. So he was like, oh, I'll join and see what it's about. And he said every time like he sees a headline that's like Netflix stock quadruples, he's like, dang it,
friggin' Netflix.
Netflix is a behemoth. It's so big.
Yeah,
you know what Steven told me yesterday, and then I'll stop talking, we can wrap this up. Steven told me that Apple has $200 billion in reserves and it's enough to buy Disney.
Well, it's always been a thing that like, that's ooh, Apple might buy Disney one day.
In my brain, as a, you know, simpleton, Disney is like way bigger than Apple. Like if anyone was gonna buy anyone, it would be Disney buying Apple, because to me Disney is this massive like juggernaut, which it is.
And then to know that Apple's much larger.
How does Apple, like, not even that they've made $200 billion, but that they're sitting just $200 billion in my wallet, open it up.
I mean, so I'm reading right now, or the reading, I'm listening to Bob Iger's, I don't know what to call it, book. It's called Ride of a Lifetime. Really good book. It starts off with like a huge bang too. It's about, because like the book pretty much starts when like that kid at Disney World got taken by the alligator, and then that was like right after the whole...
It's an awful place to start.
Yeah. We'll just talk about, like, how crazy things can be. And then, like, in the book, he explicitly states, like, if Steve Jobs was still alive today, Disney would have probably already been sold to Apple.
Really?
Kind of thing, so...
And you listened to Steve Jobs' memoir, didn't you?
I think that's the best book ever written.
Really?
The Steve Jobs.
Wasn't he kind of, like, a rough around the edges guy?
Oh, absolutely. You don't do what he did without being a little crazy and a jackass.
Oh, which reminds me, there was a really good video. You know Max from Catfish?
Yes.
So I discovered his YouTube channel recently, and it's really, really good. He did, and he's a director, and he did a video on, like, do you have to be a dick to be a good director? And it's very cinematic, and he went around and, like, interviewed all these directors to try to find, like can you be a successful director, you know, someone who's like a really powerful person and not be an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, that can be applied to any kind of leadership management stuff,
right?
You know, and it really depends on the person.
So you said, oh, Steve Jobs had to be an asshole because to be that successful, but I don't think that's true. I think you can be a nice person and be really successful.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
It's complicated.
So you think everyone who's in positions of power are assholes? I mean, there's plenty of assholes that are in positions of power.
Yeah. You can't really be in, like, that level of leadership without being an asshole once in a while, at least.
Well, once in a while is different than, like, your core as a person.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting topic, for sure. Especially, like, thinking of how it relates to, like, corporate culture kind of thing.
Yeah. Like Sierra Schultze Inc. corporate culture?
Yeah.
Do I have to be an asshole to you, my co-host?
No.
Clean up the equipment.
Scrub down the telephones.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really fun. I really enjoyed just having this time to just sit down and chat, whether it's with you or with Skylar or
with a guest. Yeah, I am really excited to listen to your and Skylar's podcast.
I know. I'm so excited.
You girls have so much to talk about. Skylar has her whole, like, birth thing to talk about. You guys, you know, Skylar.
I need to talk to her about that.
Yeah. You guys, like, even just the whole miscarriage thing, like, there's a discussion to be had about that. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
The pandemic, everything.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. And Skylar and Kyle are doing well, everyone.
They are. And Milo.
And Toothless. Milo's Olive. Almost 2 months now, which is crazy to think about.
He looks so big. So big. When we were FaceTiming them the other day, I was like, he's like a baby. Like, his eyes are open. He's getting bigger.
Well, it's weird to think. So we held him at 2 weeks, and then we haven't seen them since.
We probably won't get to hold him until...
He's like five.
I mean, but it really will be a long time.
Yeah.
Skylar said that he is going to be very familiar with our voices, though, because he always listens to the podcast. So, Milo, if you're listening to this, hi, guy baby.
Hey, Milo. Anyways, let's get out of here.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Thanks for watching.